Please be seated.
I'm going to start talking right now because we've got a lot to say. Appreciate the confidence the elders have to ask me to come. Truth be known, I'd rather hear some of these young fellows up here. I learn such valuable lessons when they speak, from their hard work, and Nick and Grant and Chase and others who have decided to study and to preach the Word of God, and others are coming along that line. I know you are, and I hope that you will follow in their steps as well. We have benefited already from having been here. The good songs, Brad has let us in. To be able to partake of the Lord's Supper. What an honor. To be invited to this feast. To comply with His will. To pray to God. David, I appreciate your prayer on my behalf. And the others that you mentioned in your prayer. Don't take that lightly. So today we study the indestructibility of the Bible. Do you realize what you have in your hand or your lap on your person? We talk about powerful nations today and our nation being the most powerful. We're not even a drop in the bucket compared to this. No power that man has can do what this book can do. And we need to realize that it is under the power and the grace, the majesty of God, that we have what we have, and those of us who are members of the church, just how blessed we are to have this powerful element in our hands. And as we're going to point out today, it is never going to be destroyed, no matter what happens. We're going to do a lot of reading off of the charts. I put a black background, hopefully that you could be able to see more clearly. And I hope they're large enough that you can read along with me as we study the indestructibility of the Word of God, Almighty God. It can never be destroyed. We're going to see that often on these charts. I want to remind you over and over the indestructibility of this wonderful, powerful, majestic Word of God. Jesus tells us in John chapter 12 and verse 48, familiar to you? Shake your head this way, it is, isn't it? He said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that day." Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth, thank you. Heaven and earth shall pass away. That make it easier too, doesn't it? Heaven and earth shall pass away. What you're sitting on, what we walk on daily, this is going to pass away. But what? My word shall not pass away. Period. Never be destroyed. Revelation 20 and verse 12. "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works." Well, what's the conclusion to all these verses? The word's going to be at the judgment day. So it's not going to be destroyed. It's not going to be forgotten. Oh yes, some people like to throw it away, burn it, as we'll see. Pay no attention to it. But you know what? They're not only going to stand before their king, they're going to bow before their king, and their tongue is going to confess what they have done in this body. And that includes you and me. Think about that. Practice it at home. Get out on your knees and confess what you've done in this body. You're going to. Just the good? That's what I'd like to just say. Lord, can we forget all that? No. This is going to be there on the judgment day. everything will be destroyed. Despite what our Jehovah's Witness friends say, that this earth is not going to be destroyed, read this passage along with me. 2 Peter 3, beginning with verse 10. The scoffers had said, well, he's not coming back. He's promised to come back, but he's not coming back, so therefore he didn't. He's not keeping his promise. Peter reassures us, but the day of the Lord will come. Well, what's going to happen in that day? He'll come as a thief in the night. There's not going to be any knock on the door. I'm coming. A warning. The warning is now. In that day, the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Sat at my dining room table with people who don't believe this earth is going to be destroyed. Read this passage to them, and they try to explain it away. It's too clear. I know if I can understand it, you can understand it, and they can understand it. But they're taught that this earth is not going to pass away. In the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are therein shall be what? Dissolved, burned up, consumed. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in a holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening. Do you look for vacation? Look forward to it? If at work you get a couple of weeks of vacation and it draws near, are you looking for it? Come on, man. School's about out. Remember those? I remember those days. Come on. We had a lot longer vacation than y'all do. Yeehaw. Look forward to it. Anticipate it. Looking for it and hastening. Come on. It'll never get here. We had final exams. Well, we're in the final exam period, aren't we? Yes, we are. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And did you know our hope will never be destroyed? Heaven and earth are going to be. There's no, when we meet the Lord in the air, there's not going to be any place to come back to. What did we just read in 2 Peter 3? Heaven and earth will be destroyed. Two or three times in those three verses, it'll be destroyed. I don't care what you think. I know what's going to happen. And that's what he tells us. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us. Begotten. Jesus said we must be born again unto a living hope. You ever hope for something and you didn't get it? The time came and went and you didn't. Maybe you hope to win a ball game, or maybe you hope to get an A on a test without studying. Well, that time comes and goes, doesn't it? To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did that occur? If He's still in the tomb, as some say, we have no hope. To an inheritance, listen, never destroyed, incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. But just like your reservation at a hotel, it can be denied, can't it? It can be taken away. But you do what God says. You obey His will, this powerful word, and it's going to be there. You forever. The seed is the word of God. Luke 8 verse 11. He says the story of the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed. We've got it right here, don't we? So our conclusion is, as long as there's the seed, the kingdom remains. That makes sense, doesn't it? Where does a nation go without laws? Well, as we said it, I made a comment in Bible class that there's chaos. Without this, without a law, without rule, there is chaos. So as long as there's a seed, the kingdom remains. Do we still have the seed? Shake your head this way. You got it. We're blessed to have it. It's true under the Old Testament. Never be destroyed. Listen to Isaiah. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, But the Word of God what? You read that, can't you? Same is true in the New Testament. Peter almost rehearses exactly what Isaiah said. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of the grass. Muhammad Ali said, I'm the greatest. Where is he now? Where is the greatest? The greatest met the greatest, didn't he? Hadn't he? The grass withereth, the flower falleth, but the word of God, the Lord, abideth what? There's our word. True today. Remember Matthew 24:35 that we read a minute ago? What did Jesus say? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, nearly 2,000 years, and it's still with us. Still with us. Indestructible kingdom, the only kingdom in history that will never be destroyed. We won't take the time to go through all of these kingdoms' history, but as we ask here, where are they now? Where are those kingdoms now? We are in an indestructible kingdom with an indestructible word. The only kingdom that will never be destroyed. Daniel 2:44. Hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth, God said through the prophet, and in the days of those kings, and if you read the context, you know that it is the Roman kings. In the days of those kings, the four kingdoms that Daniel interpreted the dream of the king. In the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall sovereignty thereof be left to another people. Nobody's going to come and take it over. So far, so good. Daniel was right, wasn't he? But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Aren't you glad you're part of that kingdom? And that you have the rule book, that you know how to abide in that kingdom? What is the implication? So long as the kingdom remains, the seed of the kingdom, which is the Word of God, must remain. You have a kingdom, you must have rules. You have rules, what's good rules with no kingdom? They abide together, don't they? The kingdom will last forever, so the Word of God, the seed, must last forever. So far, so good. Right? Just like Isaiah said, like Peter said, like Jesus said, if it lasts forever, it is indestructible. When we pass away, is this word going to pass? When we die, when our hearts stop and they bury us in the ground, oh, the word of God's gone? No, sir. Even when its greatest fighters die, Paul and Peter and the first century Christians who died such horrible deaths, the word kept on going, didn't it? Indestructible kingdom. Hebrews 12. Paul is already talking about Mount Sinai when the children of Israel were there, and the mount shook at the word of the Lord. But he says in verse 28, wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Think about that. He means what he says. Reverse is also true. So long as the Bible remains, the kingdom has not been destroyed. We talked about the kingdom remaining forever, therefore the law. And now, as long as the Bible remains, the kingdom will remain. It may be suppressed for a while, and it was. Remember the Dark Ages? Somebody says, well, where was your seed then? It was dead. It was gone. Really? If it was all gone, then why are we here? Why are you here? The seed wasn't completely destroyed, was it? As long as God's word remained, the kingdom has not been destroyed. When the seed of the kingdom is sown, just like our gardens, men and women can become Christians, and Christians make up the kingdom. Ask you this question. Think about it. Be with me. How many grains of corn must remain for corn to remain alive? Must be thousands of grains of corn? No. Just one. Just one grain of corn, and the corn will continue to grow. You plant it, and what will happen? Oh, but as we mentioned, the Dark Ages, where was the Word of God then? No, it wasn't completely dead, was it? It wasn't destroyed, though men tried their hardest, as we shall see, to do that. There were efforts to destroy the Bible, the Word of God. The enemies of Christianity realized that the kingdom of God could not exist without the seed of the kingdom. You get rid of this. So therefore they concentrated against Christianity and in the direction of destroying the scriptures. And here's how they did it. We read of martyrs. James and Stephen. Did you know all those prisoners that Paul took out of their homes, separating men and women and children and hauling them back to Jerusalem? What were the Jews going to do to them? Now, don't you all do that anymore. Is that what? And you trot on back home. No, they were going to put them to death. The religious leaders were putting Christians to death. Not only the Romans. Who was it that was crying, "Crucify him"? Acts 9:1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He was going to put a stop to this. That's the devil's work, isn't it? Their thoughts? You kill the messenger and you stop the message. Same is true today. That's why people are assassinated. Why they're put to death. More efforts. History records disciples dying of martyr's death because of their faith. You've read about that. You've seen movies depicting it. Read books about it. The Romans' wide, wide world of sports was in their arenas as they watched Christians slip sliding on the blood. They had to come in and throw dirt on the floor of their arenas because it became too greasy, too slippery, and it was no fun to watch them try to escape. Imagine that. That's not just myth. That's not back in a distant, far place, far, far away on another planet. Early in the history of Christianity, Clement of Alexandria, who lived in the second century, lived what, about 65 years, if my mathematics are correct. He said, "Many martyrs are daily burned." Just stop right there. I remember one that was burned. No, many martyrs were burned. I mean, they were put to death and piled up and burned? No, they were put to death by the burning. Think there's not bitterness and hatred? Do you think the devil doesn't want to stop this? Then secondly, crucified. Pick one. Burning or crucifixion? Think about it. And then all I have to do to not be burned to death or crucified is to say, "I no longer believe in this. I no longer believe in this man called Jesus." Deny him and you live. Have you seen beheadings? You can. Live. I don't know that I would encourage you to do that. But you know what's going on. And they say it is for their faith that they're dying. For many years, Christianity was outlawed. Outlawed by the Roman government. You come here today, you are in a heap of trouble. If you come here today and your government says, you can't do that, you're going to jail. Even if we catch you meeting in your homes, in a basement, in the dark, "Well, we're going to meet this week. They're watching the building." Would you do that? As David prayed a while ago, "Some have chosen not to be here today." Feeble excuses? A lie in Sunday clothes? What I chose to be burned or crucified, if my faith is that weak, oh, you know, J.R., he speaks, what, 30, 35 minutes sometimes. And Grant told us the other day, our attention span is what, Grant? 8 seconds? Are you still with me? We're getting close to 11. You should slow down here. From the time of Nero, less than 20 years, or about 20 years after Jesus' death, until Constantine, 300, virtually every one of the Roman emperors opposed Christianity. Your government said you can't do this. You can't do what you're doing today. Under penalty of death. Be willing to risk it? A burning? And last week you've just seen several burned. Or you'd seen them, they crucified them on the road so that you had to pass by the crucified bodies. And I look at myself. Pitiful. As Paul said, no, we've not resisted unto blood. But you know what? It might do the church good if we had to. Of Diocletian, the ruler immediately preceding Constantine, Eusebius, the historian, said, listen, royal edicts were published everywhere commanding that the churches be leveled to the ground and that the scriptures destroyed by fire. You come here today, your building is in the basement. All your Bibles in the pews, they burned. Courageous Christians. There's the record, church history book. If anyone knew of one who had a copy of the scriptures and did not report it, he also could be killed. Scott and Chris has got a Bible, and I know it. But if I don't tell on y'all, I could die. So when they come and question me, do you know somebody? Well, yeah. So I can live, and guess who's going to die? Not after months and months and years of lawyers and bickering and back and forth. Mm-mm. You die in your home that day. They were serious. Many handwritten copies of the Word of God. How would you like to write this down? And then somebody take it out of your hands and you watch them burn it. We sing words or songs about the Bible. Precious book, divine. Really? Really? On the negative side, many caved. Historians, those of the day, multitudes hastened to deny the faith and surrendered their copies of the scriptures. Here's mine, take it. See, I don't have one. I'm a good guy. Many more bore the horrible tortures, other than the burnings and the crucifixions. They refused with their latest breath to surrender themselves. Others were more willing to give this away and their soul salvation. And many more didn't. They realized, as Paul, as we've studied so often here in our study in Philippians and in the adult class, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Instant gain. Many hid their copies under penalty of death. Many hid, risked their lives. What would you have done? What would you have done? What would you have done? Risked it all? You're not getting my Bible. After this edict had been in force for 2 years, Diocletian boasted, listen, I have completely exterminated the Christian writings from the face of the earth. What do we know about that statement? Did he? Were his words true? He thought they were. Completely exterminated from the world. Constantine, the very next ruler who became a Christian. Listen, he ordered that all the churches have a copy of the Bible. See, it didn't last forever. Nothing does on earth, does it? But Diocletian thought he had destroyed all the copies. Constantine offered a substantial reward for anybody who could bring him a copy of the Word of God, and within 25 hours, 50 copies of the Bible were brought to him. Yes! Brave individuals who went through that pressure, who went through and saw their relatives and their friends, their brothers and sisters in Christ put to death, but they hung on to it. Yes, risking their lives, would you? If you die, your family dies. Your children die. Well, I don't want them to suffer. What would that have shown? During the Middle Ages, for example, the Roman Catholic Church, are they advertising this statement? Burn the Bible. A girl I dated in high school, a Roman Catholic, said, "We're encouraged not to read this." Well, duh! If they read it, would they be Roman Catholics? She said, if you do read it and you have a question, go to the priest. And in as much as she said, he'll explain it. My words, away. Gave her plenty of questions to ask him. In spite of all the extermination tries, it lives, doesn't it? What did Jesus say? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words what? Even though infidels... Here's another one. Voltaire said, who died in 1778, made his attempt to destroy the Bible. He boldly made the prediction that within 100 years, the Bible and Christianity would have been swept from the existence into oblivion. What do we now know? And if somebody makes a statement like that today... And it may look bad. It may look like, well, they're winning. Oh, my. They're going to take over. They're going to take the Bible. No. They're not going to win. Voltaire's efforts and his bold prophecy failed, just like all the others. Now they like the rich man of Luke chapter 16. They're in torment. Boast and brag what you've done, how you've killed Christianity, how you've destroyed the kingdom and the Word of God. But your day is coming. Men have died, quote, on the gallows for reading it, and have been burned at the stake for owning it. Tortures too fiendish to describe have been visited upon delicate women and tender children for looking on its pages. Heartless individuals, in spite of the strongest forces that hell could unleash, and in the face of the animosity and tyrants of despots, there are many more Bibles in the world today than any other book. You know that? Continues to be the bestseller, though it's not on the bestseller list. You know why? I think I've told you before. They took it off because no other book had a chance. No other book had a chance to be number one because this is still the bestseller. All its critics and destroyers have passed away. What did Jesus say? Matthew 24:35. You got it memorized? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but what? Was that true? And the devil doesn't mind you having a Bible. Ladies, you can have a little one in your purse. You can have one by your bed. You can have one on the coffee table, all dusted and looking real pretty and nice. as long as you don't read it. And we're not a reading nation. Does that include you? We're watchers. We're sitters. It's obvious from the lack of knowledge, isn't it? What did Hosea say in 4 and verse 6? My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge is the definition of what word? I-G-N-E-R-T-Z. Ignorance. Look it up. Last Eve, the poem says about the anvil. You've read it. We're coming to a conclusion here. Beside a blacksmith's door, and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime. Then looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn were the beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and better all these hammers so? Just one, said he, then said with a twinkling eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought, the anvil of God's word for ages skeptics' blows have beat upon, yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammers are gone. They're gone, but the anvil is still here. Look at the last statements, three charts. Robert Ingersoll, his statue in Peoria, Illinois, at one of the parks, which name escapes me right now. But as you enter, there he is standing in all his regal. Who went all over this country saying, this is not the word of God. Wrote about it. Very famous. He said, oh God, if there be a God, save my soul. If I have a soul from hell, if there be a hell. Sir Thomas Scott, Chancellor of England, said, until this moment I thought there was neither a God nor hell. Now I know and feel that there are both. And I am doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty. Live all of your life. Let's say you live 100 years. You know why? Don't believe in this, because if you believe in this, there's a judgment. See? If you believe in God, there's a judgment. And I don't want that. So, okay, ignorance is bliss. No, it is not. Voltaire, that we mentioned earlier. He said, I am abandoned by God and man. I will give you half of what I am worth if you will give me 6 months' life. He said this to his doctor, who told him it cannot be done. You give me all the money you have. He said, then I shall die and go to hell. In grade school, one of my friends said, I'm going to die and go to hell. Where all my friends are. And just a few years ago, he made it. Think his friends are what? Oh, Ron, we're so glad to see you. No, the rich man didn't want anybody to come, did he? And neither will you. Voltaire's no, this is so sad. His nurse said, for all the money in Europe, I wouldn't want to see another unbeliever die. All night long, he cried for forgiveness. Been by a lot of deathbeds. People on their deathbeds. Fortunately, many of them didn't have to do that. They could die in peace. Not screaming and begging, please give me another moment, give me some more. Mm-mm. Last of all, Caesar Borgia said, while I lived, I provided for everything but death. Now I must die and am unprepared to die. What will your last words be? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Can you leave that in the thoughts of those that you leave behind? Will you listen to the last will and testament of the Lord? The word that will live forever, and a word that will be there on the judgment day. The book of life will be open. My teacher used to look at her grade book and I could see my name. You ever done that? And see what she's recorded in your grade? Sometimes I wanted to reach over and close that book. Wow. But then I had a chance to do better. Not when I meet the judge. Not when report card day comes and I am on my knees and confessing with my tongue things that I have done in this body. Folks, I can get all of that which would keep me away from heaven erased permanently by the repentant. Have you seen this before? I don't even have to say the words, do I? You know what I'm talking about. You can't do a 360. You need to do a 180, don't you? And God that loves you so much, how much? That He gave what? So that you might live. Ask and you shall receive. Ask for forgiveness and you... That's the most important thing. Oh, I need a new car. I need a new suit. I need a new Bible. What do I need more than salvation? Brad has given us a song of invitation. Open your books to them. We're going to invite any who need to respond to the Lord's invitation. Simply said, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." In that verse, there are two people. The saved and the lost. The saved are those that hear, believe His word and are baptized. Have you done that? Everything is ready if your heart, here's the Bible heart, if you have believed His word, come to Him today. Make it now, while we stand, Brad, while we stand.